Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member by Avram Goldar and their Maseches Nedarim Daf Test, the first Perek, Kol Kanuye. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah states as another example of Yados Nedarim. If one says, Kanidre Rishayim, Nadar ben Nazir ben Karban ubeshvua, like the vows of the wicked, he's made a Nedar to be a Nazir, or bring a Karban, or to effect an oath. This qualifies as a Nedar because it's within the practice of the Rishayim to make Nedarim. If one says Kanidre Kasherim, like the vows of the virtuous, it's not effective because it's not the practice of the virtuous to make Nedarim. Still, if he said Kanidvosam, like their pledges, the vow is effective because the virtuous do make pledges, as the Gemara will explain. The Gemara wonders how simply saying Kanidre Rishayim, like the vows of the wicked, indicates that he means to accept a vow, for perhaps he means to say that he does not want to make such a vow. The Gemara adds further that even if he were to say, Harani Kanidre Rishayim, I am hereby undertaking like the vows of the wicked, he still may not mean to accept the Naziris, rather he may be accepting a fast upon himself. The Gemara concludes that the Mishnah is speaking Kashay Nazar Oru Lafanav, when a Nazar was passing before him. Such a declaration in this context is clearly an acceptance to be a Nazar. Point number two, the Gemara asks who the Tana is of our Mishnah who distinguishes between a Nether and a Dava to consider the former improper and the latter proper. Seemingly, it's neither Rebbe Meir nor Rebbe Yehuda, for it was taught in a Braisa. A Pasuk in Kohelet states, Tova Shalotido Meshetido Vulatishalim. It's better that you do not vow than vow and not pay. Rav Meir says, Tov mizeh mizeh she'inu noda kol ikr. Better than vowing and paying and vowing and not paying is one who does not vow at all. Rav Yehuda says, Tov mizeh mizeh noda umeshalim. Better than not vowing and vowing and not paying is one who vows and pays. The Ran explains that Rav Yehuda's opinion is based on the previous pasuk, which says, Esesher tidor shalim, that which you vow, pay. Nonetheless, we see from here that neither Tana distinguishes between the different types of nadarim. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah can be Rebbe Meir, as the Ran explains, since his pasuk was only referring to Nadarim, and it's possible that Rebbe Meir agrees that making a Nadava is better than not making one. And point number three, the Gemara asks if there's a case of Nadava de Naziros, a virtuous Nadava of Naziros, where there's no concern that someone might violate the vow sometime during their Naziros, and brings a brisa to the Tot. Shimon HaTzadik said, in all my days I never ate from the Ashim of a Nazir who became Tameh. Once a Nazir came from the south, and I saw Shu Yafei Naim until Roy, that he had beautiful eyes and was good looking. But Kvutzosav Suduros Hotaltalim, and his locks of hair were arranged in curls. When Shimon HaTzadik asked him why he undertook to destroy his hair by becoming a Nazir, he responded that he had once seen his handsome reflection and was seized by Zetzohara, and reacted forcibly by declaring himself a Nazir and shave his hair with Shem Shemayim. Shimon HaTzadik kissed him on his head and declared, Kamocha Yirbu Nozrei Naziros B'Yisrael. May there be more vowers of a Naziros in Yisrael like you. This was the Nazir who had been Tameo, but whose offering Shimon HaTzadik ate. The Ran explains that this man was the model of a Nazir who was truly motivated by a sincere desire to devote himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it was a virtuous Nadava since there was no concern that he would violate it. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Mishnah states, as another example of Yados Nedarim, if one says, Kanidre Rishayim, Nadar ben Nazir ben Karban ubeshvua, like the vows of the wicked, he has made a Nether to be a Nazir or to bring a Karban or to effect an oath. This qualifies as a Nedar because it's within the practice of the Rishayim to make Nedarim. If one says Kanidre Kasherim, like the vows of the virtuous, it's not effective because it's not the practice of the virtuous to make Nedarim. Still, if he said Kanidvosam, like their pledges, the vow is effective because the virtuous do make pledges, as the Gemara will explain. The Gemara wonders how simply saying Kanidre Rishayim, like the vows of the wicked, indicates that he means to accept a vow, for perhaps he means to say that he does not want to make such a vow. The Gemara adds further that even if he were to say, Harani Kanidre Rishayim, I am hereby undertaking like the vows of the wicked, he still may not mean to accept the Naziris, rather he may be accepting a fast upon himself. The Gemara concludes that the Mishnah is speaking Kashay Nazar Oru Lafanav, when a Nazar was passing before him. Such a declaration in this context is clearly an acceptance to be a Nazar. Point number two, the Gemara asks who the Tana is of our Mishnah who distinguishes between a Nether and a Dava to consider the former improper and the latter proper. Seemingly, it's neither Rebbe Meir nor Rebbe Yehuda, for it was taught in a Braisa. A Pasuk in Kohelet states, Tova Shalotido Meshetido Vulatishalim. It's better that you do not vow than vow and not pay. Rav Meir says, Tov mizeh mizeh she'inu noda kol ikr. Better than vowing and paying and vowing and not paying is one who does not vow at all. Rav Yehuda says, Tov mizeh mizeh noda umeshalim. Better than not vowing and vowing and not paying is one who vows and pays. The Ran explains that Rav Yehuda's opinion is based on the previous pasuk, which says, Esesher tidor shalim, that which you vow, pay. Nonetheless, we see from here that neither Tana distinguishes between the different types of Nadarim. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah can be Rebbe Meir, as the Ran explains, since his pasuk was only referring to Nadarim, and it's possible that Rebbe Meir agrees that making a Nadava is better than not making one. And point number three, the Gemara asks if there's a case of Nadava de Naziros, a virtuous Nadava of Naziros, where there's no concern that someone might violate the vow sometime during their Naziros, and brings a brisa to the Tot. Shimon HaTzadik said, In all my days, I never ate from the ashim of a nazir who became tame. Once a nazir came from the south, and I saw a shu yafe naim and told Roy that he had beautiful eyes and was good looking. And his locks of hair were arranged in curls. When Shimon HaTzadik asked him why he undertook to destroy his hair becoming a nazir, he responded that he had once seen his handsome reflection and was seized by Zetzohara, and reacted forcibly by declaring himself a nazir and shave his hair with Shem Shemayim. Shimon HaTzadik kissed him on his head and declared, Kamocha Yirbu Nozrei Naziris B'Yisrael. May there be more vowers of Naziris in Yisrael like you. This was the Nazir who had been Tamei, over whose offering Shimon HaTzadik ate. The Ran explains that this man was the model of a Nazir who was truly motivated by a sincere desire to devote himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it was a virtuous Nadava since there was no concern that he would violate it. Alright, so now we go to our Simra Daf test, and our standard Simra is a teapot, because teapot, and also a test sort of looks like a teapot. So here goes. The group of Rishayim sitting around drinking tea and making Nedarim were rebuked by the waiter who told them it's better not to vow at all than even to vow and pay. But making an Nadava of Naziris, like the handsome man with the long curly hair sitting in the corner next to the mirror, is totally acceptable. Once again, it's a motion. The group of Rishayim sitting around drinking tea, that must be on Daf Test, teapot. The group of Rishayim sitting around drinking tea and making Nedarim, which reminds us, the Mishnah states as another example of Yadus Nedarim, if one says, K'nidri Rishayim, Nadu B'Nazir U'Bekar U'Beshvua, like the vows of the wicked, he's made a neder to be a Nazir or to bring a carbon or to effect an oath. This qualifies as a neder because it's within the practice of the Rishayim to make Nedarim. If one says, K'nidri Kasherim, like the vows of the virtuous, it's not effective because it's not the practice of the virtuous to make Nedarim. Still, if he said kinitvosam, like their pledges, the vow is effective because the ksherim do make pledges. So the group of Rishayim sitting around drinking tea and making nedarim were rebuked by the waiter who told them it's better to not vow at all than even to vow and pay, which reminds us, a pasuk in Kohelet states, Tobishu otitor mishetitor b'lotishalim, it's better that you do not vow than vow and not pay. Rabbi Meir says, Tob mizeh umizeh she'enu noder kol iker, better than vowing and paying, and vowing and not paying is one who does not vow at all. Rabbi Yehuda says, Tov mizeh umizeh noder umishalim. Better than not vowing, and vowing and not paying is one who vows and pays. The Ran explains that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is based on the previous pasuk, which says, Eser shetidor shalim, that which you vow, pay. So the group of Rishayim sitting around drinking tea and making nedarim were rebuked by the waiter who told them it's better to not vow at all than even to vow and pay. But making nedava of Nazirus, like the handsome man with the long curly hair sitting in the corner next to the mirror, is totally acceptable, which reminds us of the story of Shimon HaTzadik and the handsome Nazir with beautiful hair. So once again, the group of Rishayim sitting around drinking tea and making Nedarim were rebuked by the waiter who told them it's better to not vow at all than even to vow and pay. But making an Adaba of Naziris, like the handsome man with the curly long hair sitting in the corner next to the mirror, is totally acceptable. All right, now it's time to go to our four blot back Chazara. Daf Hey. So the Zimmer Daf Hey is hay or a haystack. So here goes. The two farmers baling hay. Hey, that must be one duff. Hey. The two farmers baling hay were forbidden to benefit from one another because one said, Mudar ani l'cha, which reminds us, the Gemara revises Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's statement to read, if one says, Mudar ani l'cha, shneim asurim, I am vowed to you, they're both forbidden to benefit from each other. But if one says, Mudrani hemach, hu asur v'chaver o mutter, I am vowed from you, he's forbidden to benefit from his friend, but his friend is permitted. So the two farmers baling hay were forbidden to benefit from one another because one said, Mudar ani l'cha, after his friend inscribed the words, I am separated from you in a haystack, and he thought he meant, I will not do business with you, which reminds us. The Gemara concludes that Shmuel did mean to say that only if one adds the phrase, Shani ochel ocha, is the vow effective. But if he only says, Mudrani mimcha, I am vowed from you, the vow is ineffective. Here the Gemara explains that the reason is, L'mashma da'amar aser. It does not imply that he's saying a prohibition. The reason for this is, Mudar ani mimcha, I am vowed from you, can instead imply, I will not speak with you. Mufashani mimcha, I'm separated from you, can mean I will not do business with you. The Ran explains that since the implication of his vow is not conclusive, no vow takes effect at all. So the two farmers baling hay were forbidden to benefit from one another because one said, Mudar ani l'cha, after his friend inscribed the words, I'm separated from you in a haystack, and he thought he meant, I will not do business with you. When the friend was actually trying to win back his wife, who demanded that he give her an explicit get. Which reminds us, the Gemara records machlokes between Abai and Rav about yadayim she'ein mochikos, yadayim which are inconclusive. Abai says they are valid yadayim, and Rav says they are not. The Gemara asks that this dispute seems to reflect a machlokes tanaim regarding a get, for it stated in the Mishnah, gufo shel get ari muteres kol adam. the absence of a get is you are thus permitted to anyone. Rav Yehuda says the get must include v'din dehavi lichem inai sefer teruchim v'ger shivukin, and this will be yours from me, a document of expulsion and a letter of release. We see that Tanaim have already disagreed about how clear a partial expression must be for a valid get. The Gemara shows, though, how Abai can conform with even Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabba can conform with the Rabbanan. Daf Vav. So the similar Daf Vav is a sword. So here goes. The dramatic swordsman. Swordsman? That must be more Daf Vav. The dramatic swordsman picked up a fierce-looking sword and shouted, Hare Zep, but not a lie, making it Aser and all, which reminds us, the inference of a brisa is that if one only said, Hare Zep, this is hereby, and not added a lie to me, then the item would be forbidden not only to him, like in the case where he does say to me, but to everyone. Did Dilmar Hu Hektish Ka'amr, because perhaps he's saying it is hereby Hektish, which would forbid the item to all people, since he has surely made a valid vow, and it's unclear if he intended to prohibit the item to just himself or everyone, we rule stringently. So the dramatic swordsman picked up a fierce-looking sword and shouted, Hare Zeh, but not a lie, making it Aser on all, just after he was Mekadosh a woman and pointed the sword at her friend and shouted, Ba'at, which reminds us where Papa asked, Yesh Yad L'Kedushin Olo, are Yadayim effective for Kedushin or not? The Gemara says he was asking about a case where a man was Mekadosh a woman and then said to a second woman, Ba'at, and you. Do we say he was saying, and you too, to her friend, and the Kedushin would be valid as a Yad? Or perhaps he's saying, and you watch, to her friend, and the Kedushin would not be valid. The Ran explains that since there is another, albeit unlikely, interpretation to his words, it's merely a Yad, and Kedushin would not be valid through a Yad, even though it is conclusive. The question is left unresolved. So the dramatic swordsman picked up a fierce-looking sword and shouted, Hare Zeh, but not a lie, making it Aser and all, just after he was Mekadosh a woman and pointed the sword at her friend and shouted, Va'at, while the terrified friend tried to hide in the last remaining patch of a field, which was not clear whether it was declared as Peah. Which reminds us, Rapapa further asked, Yesh Yad L'Peah or Ein Yad L'Peah? Is the Yad effective for Peah or not? The Gemara again clarifies that if he declared one patch of his field to be Peah, and then said on a second, and this one too, that would certainly be a full expression of Peah and would not be a Yad. Rather, the question is where he said on the second patch, which was the only remaining patch, Vahadain, and this one. Tosfos explains that the other possible interpretation of his words is, and this one I retain for myself, thereby reducing the declaration to a Yad, because we're speaking where the second patch is the last remaining one in his field. Dav Zayin, so the symbol of Dav Zayin is a gun. So here goes. The Yeshiva Bachar at the gun range, that must have been on Dav Zayin, Klei Zayin, gun. The Yeshiva Bachar at the gun range, who wasn't sure if he could say Shema in a second structure that might have been designated as a lavatory, which reminds us, Ravina asked, Yesh Yad L'Beis Kisei Elo, are Yadayim effective for designating a lavatory or not in regard to the prohibition to reciting Shema, learning Torah, or davening within it? So the Yeshiva Bachar at the gun range, who wasn't sure if he could say Shema in a second structure that might have been designated as a lavatory, went ballistic and excommunicated a friend who said Hashem's name in vain, which reminds us, Rav Chanin said in the name of Rav, Hashemei Haskaras Hashem Mefi Chavero Tzarkli Nadoso, one who hears mention of Hashem's name in vain from his friend's mouth, he must excommunicate him, Vimo Nidahu Hu Atzmo Yehe Benidui, and if he did not excommunicate him, he himself should be excommunicated, Shekol Makrin Shehaskaras Hashem Metsuya, because all places where mention of Hashem's name in vain is common, Shem Anius Metsuya, there poverty is common. So the Yeshiva Bachar at the gun range, who wasn't sure if he could say Shema in a second structure that might have been designated as a lavatory, went ballistic and excommunicated a friend who said Hashem's name in vain, whereas his Rebbe excommunicated himself first with the intent to release himself and his Talmud later, which reminds us, Rav Gittel said in the name of Rav, Talmud Chochem, Menada La'atzma U'mefer La'atzma, Talmud Chochem may excommunicate himself and then annul it for himself. The Gemara cites as an example of this principle the practice of Marzutra Chasida, Ki Mechai Barbe Rav Mshamta, when a student required excommunication, he would excommunicate himself first and only then excommunicate the student. And when he came home, he would release himself and then release the student. Tosfos explains that he would excommunicate himself first to ensure he would remember to release the student. Dav Ches, so the Simur Dav Ches is Challah. So here goes. When the inspired baker who vowed to wake up early to learn Maseches Challah, that must be more on Dav Ches. When the inspired baker who vowed to wake up early to learn Maseches Challah arrived at the Beis Midrash, which reminds us, Rav Gittel taught in the name of Rav, one who says, I will rise early and learn this parak or learn this Masech, he has made a great neder to Hashem. Since he can put himself in the explicit mitzvah to learn Torah by simply reciting Kriyat Shema in the morning and evening, the oath takes effect on him because he is sworn to do beyond what he was explicitly commanded at Har Sinai. So when the inspired baker who vowed to wake up early to learn Maseches Challah arrived at the Beis Medrash, he found a distraught friend who couldn't sleep after having a nightmare that he was excommunicated, which reminds Rabbi Yosef said, Nidu b'chalom tzar chasar b'nei adam ahatua, if they excommunicated someone in his dream, he needs 10 people to release it for him. The Ron explains that we're concerned that this nidui was imposed by an agent of Hashem, and therefore 10 people are required to annul the nidui since the Shechina joins an assemblage of 10 people. So when the inspired baker who vowed to wake up early to learn Maseches Challah arrived at the Beis Medrash, he found a distraught friend who couldn't sleep after having a nightmare that he was excommunicated, and who only felt better when the sun began to rise, which reminds us, Abai said we learned from the pasuk which states, Shemesh Tzedak Umarpe, a son of righteousness and healing, that the dust of the day, meaning the sun, heals. The Gemara says that this pshat is in disagreement with that of Rish Lakish, who used this pasuk as a source for his statement, that in Gehenim Olam Haba, there's no Gehenim in the world to come, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chamim Natika, rather HaKadosh Baruch will take the sun out of its case, and the tzaddikim will be healed by it, and the wicked will be dealt justice by it. Alright, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which did they learn if someone hears another say Hashem's name in vain, he should excommunicate him? That's on Daf Zion. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that one who says, I will rise early and learn this chapter, or I'll learn this Masechta, has made a great vow to Hashem? That's on Daf Ches. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that Rav Papa asks the question whether there's a yad for Peah or not? That's on Daf Vav. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have a machlokes whether it's better to vow and pay or not vow at all? That's on Daf Tes. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we have a machlokes Abai and Rabba regarding yadayim she'im ochichos, and we compare it to a machlokes regarding how explicit a get has to be? That's on Daf Hey. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we have the one who has a dream that he was excommunicated needs 10 people to release it for him? That's on Daf Ches. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we have the story of Shimon HaTzadik and the handsome Nazir with the beautiful hair? That's on Daf Tes. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have the question whether Yadayim are effective to designate a basic kisei, a lavatory? That's on Daf Zion. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have the one who makes a nether Kenidrei Rishayim has made a nether, but one who says Kenidrei Kasherim has not? That's on Daf Test. Good. And number 10. Which definitely when that when one says Harai Zeh without saying Alai, it could be understood to mean that he's making the item Hekdesh and Usher to all. That's on Daf Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.